Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ocean Lovers podcast. Kirsty here, and I am so excited to be back on the podcast. The audio might be a little different today. We are recording on our phones because I'm having some technical issues with Zoom, but I still wanted to record. I wanted to talk to you guys and just get a new episode up because, again, I've just been really eager and excited and motivated to get some more episodes up to you guys. And I've just been really missing the podcast and miss talking to you guys. So we are back. And today I have a guest. Her name is Taylor. She is originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and she graduated from Towson University with a bachelor's in environmental biology. And she currently works as an environmental scientist, which we're definitely going to get into because I would love to hear more about that. In college, she interned at the National Aquarium with their Environmental Education Department, along with the Marine Animal Rescue Department, which is amazing. After college, she stayed on as a rescue volunteer for seals and sea turtles until she recently made the move to Florida about a year ago. She's always been passionate about marine conservation, which led her to start her newest Instagram page, the Florida Beachcomber. She's loved living next to the beach and has been sharing her shelling finds on her new Instagram page and has been preaching sustainable shelling and just sharing ways that you guys can be ocean conscious every day. So welcome, Taylor, to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Kirsty. I'm so excited.
Of course. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to not only just be back on the podcast, but to have a guest and to be able to chit chat. And I'm really excited to hear like your background and everything like that. But before we get started, as a little tradition we do here on the podcast, I do a little icebreaker just for everyone to feel nice and comfortable. And it's just a fun way to kind of get to know our guests. So we can kick it off with number one. What is a fun fact about yourself?
A fun fact about me is, I feel like kind of my intro was a lot of my fun facts that I normally use.
Okay, there you go.
But I would definitely say that I love to paddleboard and I love to look for shells while paddleboarding. So.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Nice. What, let me see, your favorite place that you've traveled to or that you want to travel to?
Ooh, question. I have a lot of places I want to travel to, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would say one of my favorites, and it's not very far for me, but definitely the Florida Keys is one of my favorite places I've ever been. I've gotten to go to a lot of different places in the Caribbean, but the Florida Keys definitely holds a special place in my heart, and it definitely is just such a cool place with so many awesome wildlife. You're always just going to see something cool when you're out there. So that's definitely my favorite.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I've never been there, so I definitely want to hear why that is.
Really, yeah, cool. For sure.
What marine animal best describes your personality and why?
Ooh, I think
I know this is always a good one. Everybody loves this one.
I feel like it's cliche, but I would definitely say a sea turtle. Just because I think I've always kind of been connected to them. I've loved getting to work with them, and I think I would say probably specifically a hawksbill because they live in Caribbean waters. You know, they're in and around the reefs, and I feel like that would be pretty cool to just get to be basically diving all day and
exploring in the coral reefs. Okay, and one more. What motivates you to study or work in this field?
Well, I've always just had a passion for ocean conservation, and I've loved, you know, talking about it and finding more ways to be more sustainable and live a more ocean-friendly life just every day. And so that's, you know, something that's just always been an interest and passion of mine. And I hope to continue to use my Instagram to spread the word. Just about, you know, the ocean and why we should continue to save it and keep it as clean as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, that's awesome. So so just kind of start wherever you want to start from the beginning. You know, what made you get your bachelor's in environmental biology? And then from there, just kind of take it where you want it to go. And especially, you know, your new Instagram page and you moving to Florida, definitely just tell us everything.
Yeah, sure. So I've always been interested in environmental science. I kind of knew right from high school that that's what I wanted to get into. I've always just loved being outdoors. And I was always really, I remember taking like a canoeing trip in eighth grade and just being so excited about like examples and looking at, you know, macro invertebrates and things like that. So
You did that for your sixth grade trip?
In eighth grade. But
eighth grade. Jeez, yeah, I didn't do that for my eighth grade trip.
I know. Yeah. Honestly, it was like pretty cool that we got to do that. I had like a really fun environmental science teacher in middle school. And so I think that's what awesome. Kind of, you know, led Sparked me it. Down that path. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I've kind of always known that I wanted to get into that. And so that's what I studied throughout college, which was really fun. I mostly focused on ecology, type of courses, things like that. But then I always kind of wanted to be a marine biologist as well, but I knew, you know, the field is super competitive and
yes,
I just wasn't, I was always interested in so many different things. So I just wasn't sure how to quite narrow it down.
Yeah.
Which was, it's a good topic to study just because you do kind of get to be thrown into everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what led me to start my internship with the National Aquarium. And I really just loved getting to work there. I had awesome supervisors and have met so many great people just through that who are just, you know, out doing, especially through the Marine Rescue Program. I just have met so many awesome people in that field. And so I just really enjoy getting to spend any time that I had there working with seals and sea turtles. And it was just always so cool to get them. We would, a lot of times I would get to assist with the intake exams. And so, yeah, it was really cool. You got to see the animal, you know, come in as normally they're, you know, either obviously sick and not able to survive on their own at the current state that they're in. So it was really cool to get to watch them transform over a couple of weeks. And then we would get to go down to the ocean, and it was about 2 hours away from our facility. So we would kind of take the day and do a release. And that was always really cool to watch, especially the seals, because they have so much personality to them. You get to really kind of see them evolve while they're there, because sometimes we would get pups in. And so it was just really cool to see their transformation and watch them go back to the ocean. Definitely something I miss while being down here that
I bet.
Get re-involved in for sure. So that's kind of one of my goals for being down here in Florida, is to get involved with some of the local organizations here. There's a ton of like sea turtle nest watchers
and
things like that, which is, I've never seen a nest hatch. So that's definitely on my list.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
But yeah, so since moving down here, I've gotten to, or started my Florida Beachcomber Instagram just to, as a way to get kind of back into ocean conservation, and be able to share with followers and friends about what I find while beachcombing, and just kind of preaching sustainable beachcombing and how to live more sustainably.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it almost seems like too, and this could just be me looking at it, but looking at your Instagram page, it almost seems like therapeutic. I could be totally wrong, but it seems so peaceful, like looking at all your pictures.
Oh, good. Oh my gosh, that's such a compliment, because I think I pay so much attention to like the aesthetic and making it all look.
I know. You can't help it. I mean, I do the same thing with the podcast Instagram.
Yes.
You just can't help it when you're trying to reach people. I mean, I know that there's people out there that say like, you just need to post, you just need to do this, you just need to do that. But it's a lot easier said than done when you like really start getting things going. Like when we did with the podcast, then it was like, oh, I need to like focus more on like what everything looks like. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And it's really hard to just post things that are like, you know, don't go with the flow.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you have to edit and you have to make sure, you know, that editing looks the same as the others and that you have something interesting to post along with that photo instead of just posting the photo. And
yeah, exactly. But well, thank you. That's such a great compliment. Yeah,
it does look very nice. It's very pretty and it looks very peaceful. But just, you know, looking at your whole page, I love it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Now, just a random question that kind of popped in my head. From you doing volunteer work with the seals and sea turtles, do you think that there's any part or any aspect of that to where you were able to learn more hands-on? And do you think you learned more, or not, maybe not more, I don't know how to word it, learned certain things that you wouldn't learn in a classroom is kind of where I'm getting at.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I was essentially like a husbandry volunteer. So
okay, cool.
Super hands-on. We were kind of right from the start, obviously through like trainings and things you learn. They have, you know, various, like every place is kind of different, but normally there's trainings that you have to go to before you're able to like handle an animal. But so you just kind of learn so much about the animals and getting to really just be hands-on, and a lot of it is a lot of dirty work, so lots of and things like that, but it's all stuff that's needed, obviously. And so, but I definitely think, you know, from my like college experience, I definitely would say getting involved in an internship was the biggest learning experience that I've gotten to do. As far as, you know, other, like, taking labs and things like that, or, you know, doing research for the school was also really helpful. But definitely, I think getting to do something hands-on and getting to talk to people who are actively in the field just helped me kind of understand, you know, how it all works, and getting to make those connections is really important. And so, yeah, I definitely think, you know, I think I really lucked out too. And I just had such awesome supervisors who, you know, were able to answer all of my questions. And still to this day, you know, we try and stay connected and like that. So, yeah, I would definitely, you know, I think that's a big part of being in school is being able to go after internships and taking the time to do that is definitely very valuable.
Yeah. I'm really happy you said that, because I'm sure I have mentioned it many times with other people on the podcast about just making those connections. And, you know, one thing I want to actually do better with just our social media is actually tell more people about when we see internships pop up. Just, you never know, somebody that could be listening to the podcast could be living in that area and take advantage of it. So that is actually something that I've been wanting to like implement more with the podcast, like doing on our Patreon page or our Instagram, is like telling people, you know, there's this internship that popped up. If anybody's local to that, like take advantage of it, because I've always learned, and I've done little internships, but not like super hands-on, like at a rescue, a marine animal rescue. I got close to doing it, but I live so far away to where they kind of need more,
it is typically like a commitment, like they kind of want
exactly
one day a week at least, which is tricky for a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting to the point where now that Avery's getting a little older and once she's able to go to school, I might actually start taking like a day off of work, like Fridays. And I'm thinking about, I don't know when this is going to happen, probably some maybe next year. But I'm thinking about volunteering at the Marine Mammal Center in Moss Landing because I actually the closest one I thought they had was near San Francisco, but there's actually one in Moss Landing, and I'm more familiar with Moss Landing and Monterey Bay. So that's actually kind of my goal. But I really like that you said that because, like I said, I've mentioned it many times on the podcast where internships and connecting with people that are in the field, I feel is just really important because once you start doing that, you just start it. I want to say everything just starts kind of falling into place. Like everything starts flowing, and you meet this person, and then from that person, you meet another person, and you just start getting more in contact with people. And plus, obviously, the hands-on experience is really good too. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And I love your idea of wanting to put like different internships that are available and things like that. And I've learned about so many other opportunities just from volunteering and having supervisors that send out, you know, oh, hey, like, you know, this aquarium or this organization is hiring. And I actually have a full list of kind of like job boards that are specific to environmental science and marine biology jobs. So I'll be sure to send those
Oh,
up
cool.
because they're really helpful. And the one, I think it's just like the marine conservation job board. I'll have to get the specific,
Okay.
send it to you. But they,
Yeah.
you know, organize everything by they even give you the dates that the applications are due. And you know, whether it's remote or where it's located, whatever, you know, the specifics are, they kind of list it all out for you, and it's really
Yeah.
cool.
Oh, that is really cool. Yeah, definitely send that to me. And yeah, that would be really interesting to show everyone.
Yeah.
Something you just mentioned is remote, and it just kind of got me thinking too, to our listeners, that even if you're not local to, let's say, a marine mammal center or a just anything to do with marine bio, something like that, don't be afraid to reach out to those people and ask if they even have remote work. I think a lot of people don't think about that until maybe COVID happened and a lot of people worked remotely from home. And then now it's kind of the idea of, oh, I could probably, you know, you can, there's opportunities where you can help these places out. And it's just something else that you can add to your resume. Again, you're still making those connections with people. But I feel like it's important to kind of tell people too, like, you can also do things remotely, even if you, if it's not fully like what you want, because obviously we all want to be like hands-on in this field. That's like the best part about it. But sometimes we can't always do that, and sometimes you just have to get your foot in the door in the smallest way possible. So
Yeah,
hopefully,
I love that
yeah.
you mentioned that. So when I was volunteering in college and I had just more time on my hands, but I actually reached out. My internship had ended, like my hands-on, like actually being the husbandry volunteer intern ended. And I asked my supervisor, I was like, hey, like instead of, you know, taking another course at the university, can I just do like, is there anything that I can help you with? You know, kind of as like coursework, essentially take another internship, but I wasn't technically allowed to do the same one twice.
Oh, okay.
And so we got to build like a study together in order to be submitted to a grant. And so it was just
Oh.
really cool. If I had never asked that question, you know, she wouldn't have gotten the help that she needed. And so it was really fun for me to get to do some research in college, but it actually go towards something beneficial for marine science.
Right.
So that was really cool. And, you know, it never hurts to just ask the question because you never know what, you know, they're going to say. And, you know, if you could end up loving that opportunity and just getting to kind of be more involved and more hands-on, just kind of outside of being physically there. So I love that you brought that up. And that was pre-COVID. So they probably have more, they're doing analysis and things like that outside of the office. So definitely something for people to consider and just always ask the question.
Yes, always ask questions. I say that all the time, like, don't be afraid. And I know that's easier said than done, because some people, I know that's just like not their thing. But I think with doing the podcast over the last, oh gosh, how long have we been doing it? The past couple years, is it kind of got me to go out of my comfort zone more and to ask those questions. And even if it's to a stranger, I'm like, oh, wow, I noticed that you study sharks. Could you tell me more about it? And like, just don't be afraid to like ask questions, because you just never know. You never know where that's going to lead. Honestly, that's how I started talking to Erica Page in the beginning of the podcast. I was trying to like find whale watching trips to go out to, and I forget how I came across her Instagram page, but she just so happened to work on the whale watching boat that I was going to be going on for this 8-hour photography workshop. And it just so happens that she was going to be working, or she did work for that company. I don't know if she worked that day. And then I just connected with her about that. And then eventually we just met one day on the boat. And then from there, it just kind of led to the podcast and talking as friends and just talking about ocean stuff. And yeah, so you just never know where that one question is going to lead you. So it's very important to just try not to be afraid to ask those questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So about your Instagram with your shelling, what kind of got you into that? And I know you said that, you know, ever since you guys moved, it was something for you to just kind of do on the side. And but is there anything like behind that? Like, do you know a lot of things about shells, like facts about shells? Can you identify them? Or was this something you learned like after making this Instagram?
Yeah, it's definitely something I learned after kind of making the Instagram and being really interested in it.
Okay.
I have such a science brain, so I normally always want to look up things when I'm out.
Yes.
And I want to know what things are. So yeah, we were, you know, walking the beach, and the beach that we live near is always has really great shells. So definitely lucked out. That's not something that and so I just would pick them up and started collecting them, and I was like, well, what are the names of these? And I bought a shelling guide. So it has all the different shells within Florida. And it gives different facts on them and has pictures and identify them. And so now I'm kind of probably annoying my husband where I'm like, oh, this is a banded tulip. And this one, and you know, I can like spot, he can even spot them now. So,
oh, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Definitely something I just picked up, and, I'm, you know, try to be on the beach, like during all of my free time. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I almost feel like that's, I don't know if I want to say that's better, but it's almost cool to think that you're learning all of this after the fact. And it's not something that you like feel the pressure of learning either. It's something that you're like, wow, this is really cool. I want to know what these are. And it's kind of like a little thing that you can do on the side. Again, I would see that as like, that's like kind of me with plants, where it's kind of like therapeutic for me to take care of like all the plants I have. And I did the same thing. I was like, started buying plants. And then obviously after some died, I was like, wait, what did I do wrong? I was like, I need to learn more about them. And then that kind of led into like more and more things. So yeah, that's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had, but before we moved, I had a ton of plants, but they all but one, my Monstera, was the survivor in the move. So,
oh no! Which one? What kind of Monstera do you have?
Oh geez, I don't know.
Is it like a little one, a bigger one?
It's pretty small. Yeah, it's pretty small.
Okay. Does it have like a bunch of the little holes?
Yeah, yep.
I forget what it's called, but I think I might have the same one, and I love it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like one of my favorites, and I actually got it. I got a cutting from my friend, so I didn't even buy the plant, and I just slowly started taking care of it, and now it's like growing like crazy.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. Oh, I have too many plants. I have too much.
It's really addicting.
It really is. Like, I went from 0 to 100 real quick with my plants. Yeah. Like, yep. Real fast. Luckily, lately, I'm like, I have no more room, so I can't really buy plants anymore.
Yeah.
But I have so many. Like, I even have, like, the little grow lights on some of them because, yeah, I went a little carried away, but that's okay. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to, like, talk about, like, in between? Is there, like, an experience that you kind of hold on to that you'll never forget that you kind of want to share? Or plans in the future for your Instagram? Like, where do you see it going? Just, you know.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think. I've had so many cool, like, rescue stories.
Yeah, I bet.
I think, you know, but I guess I kind of explain, you know, they're all kind of the same in the way of, like, getting to watch the animal go back into the ocean. It's always
fun. Yeah.
But as far as the Instagram goes, I think I'd really just like to continue growing it and not be so much of a perfectionist, even though I'm glad I got compliments on it. So
yeah, I know. It's but, so hard.
But yeah, I'd love to really kind of see it grow in more of promoting ocean conservation instead of just kind of educational videos on what the shells are. I'd love to just kind of turn it into explaining my love for the ocean and sharing that with everyone. I'd love to kind of promote, you know, like eco-friendly products that I've used
and
there, which I think is so important to try and limit our plastic use and things like that. And I try my best to as possible. It's so hard, but
it's I know. I feel the same way. What are some things that you do right now to use like less plastic, or what are you more like conscious of every day?
Yeah, I think one of my biggest things is I've stopped buying like the Ziploc bags, and I never use the like plastic bags at the grocery store, and my laugh at me because if I forgot my reusable ones, I will just try and carry everything that I bought. And so that's one thing that I've stopped a while ago, and that can be hard, but more and more places have a paper bag alternative now.
Yes.
So
yes.
I always try and go that route if they have it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I know. We carry a bunch of reusable bags too, like probably too much.
Yes.
And
yeah,
the hard part is for us is that we bring up our groceries and then we keep forgetting to put the bags in the car.
Yes.
And then you forget them and you're like, well, crap, do I buy another reusable bag?
Right, exactly.
Or and then a lot of the times we'll try to just use paper. Like, I can't remember the last time we got a plastic bag. And luckily, it seems like a lot of grocery stores are trying to promote more of either bring your own bag, or they have more of the paper bags. Like, actually, now that I think about it, when I go to – we go to Trader Joe's every weekend, and I don't even think they have plastic bags that I think about it.
Yeah, which is good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
We even have a little local grocery store who they only have paper bags, but they still will charge you for the paper bag, which I like because it makes you – it's like that conscious, okay, I remember – you know, I need to remember my bag.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Not that this is going to make or break you, but it is just kind of like their subtle reminder of like
– yeah.
Using this unnecessary thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
yeah,
I like, but – yeah, I've tried to also get like the reusable like Ziploc bags I have. Great. And then I've switched to like the shampoo bars, which is nice. Those have been working pretty well. Trying to think of anything. I've even switched out to like, which is kind of weird, but natural deodorant and use.
Okay.
It's like a jar of like deodorant cream. So Something people have to get used to, but since I've switched, I've loved it, and, you know, no more plastic deodorant.
Yeah.
Things like that.
And deodorant is really expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I didn't notice that until recently, because my husband would just order deodorant from this specific company. So I was just constantly using that because he would get a bunch of them. Yeah. I forget what the brand is. And just recently, I had to go buy deodorant again because we ended up stopping that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like $7 a tube? What?
Yeah, it's
crazy. What is happening?
And it does not last long.
No, I was just like, what is going on? But it is hard because I feel like a lot of natural deodorants, a lot of people have a hard time like finding one that works for them. Do you feel like the one that you have works really well for you? Or do you feel like you kind of have to search around a bit more?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree that you have to search around and find what works for you. And I've loved the one I use. It's from Little Seed Farm, so it's like a company. It's a jar of deodorant cream, so it's kind of weird because you have to like apply it with your own hands. But I mean, your pits should be clean anyway.
So. Yeah, just get a little scraper. You're good.
Yeah. Ever since my friend showed them to me, and ever since then, I've been like really hyped up about it, and it's worked really well, and it's lasted a long time. And I definitely would say that, you know, being out in the Florida heat, I feel like it's worked great for me. So
yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's really cool. Yeah, I like that you are also, especially being next to the coast, like you're trying to implement a lot of stuff at home too. Because I think with COVID and the shutdowns and everything, all of that kind of went out the door. Yeah. No, for a lot. Yeah, so it's like, I feel like now we're starting to get back to kind of how things were starting to get before COVID, like where they were starting to ban, you know, like the plastic straws. And technically, I think right now they're not supposed to give them to you unless you ask. I could be wrong, but they give them to me all the time. And I'm like, no, thank you.
I don't need them.
Yeah, I don't need them. Sorry. And I have like a ton of straws at home. So I try to use my own cups and my own straws and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. If I get coffee, I don't get coffee very often. I'll normally make it at home, but
okay.
I'll try and remember like my reusable mug for them to fill up. And
yeah.
Which is always, it's always good to constantly be thinking about those things and trying to make those choices. But
yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. And then I always tell people when we've talked about this before, I tell our listeners, like, don't be hard on yourself. Like, do one thing at a time. Because I, from experience, tried implementing, like, loads and loads and loads of different ways to cut certain things out of our daily life. And then it was, like, overwhelming. So I was like, you definitely don't want to do that. Like,
yes.
1 week, do the straw. And then continue that. And maybe in a week or two, do like the bags where you carry a couple bags in your car and then see how that goes. And then maybe deodorant and try that, like use up what you have first and then try to transition to something new. And I just feel like that's always like kind of the best way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Start small and see how far you can go, but don't pressure yourself.
Exactly. Cause the more pressure, then you're going to try to do all these things, spend money on all these things.
Yes.
And then you're going to be like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, it's overwhelming. Then you're going to fail at it. And then you're just going to give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not do that. Yeah. So yeah, that's really cool. Well, I'm really excited to see your Instagram journey with your new page.
Yeah.
And to see and hear about your job and your experiences. So hopefully we can hear more of that in the future on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I think that is a wrap for this episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you're happy that we are back with the podcast. Again, I am so excited to be back, and I'm hoping to get episodes every Friday again. So hopefully we can get another one out after this one. So stay tuned for that. And then as more episodes come out, I will be working on our Patreon page more and hopefully going live and doing extra things for you guys. So stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.